In the collect today, we pray like desperate people, destitute of all virtue, we say. We pray for strength in body at the time of illness, for protection in mind against evil thoughts, so that as the apostles experienced in today's gospel, at the end of the day, we may see no one but only Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Getting in to see the doctor, especially in the wintertime, is sometimes quite a to-do. And once you've finally got your way into the examining room after a long wait and all the rest of it, it's even more of a to-do to get your questions answered and to leave his office with some satisfaction. I remember Father Cicada coaching me once about what you have to do to get your questions answered by the doctor. He said, well, you write everything down, you produce the list, and you have it numbered, and you don't let him leave until you're finished with him. But can you imagine how you would feel the next time you go to a doctor's office if the doctor were to sit down and look you right in the eye and smile and say to you, what do you want me to do for you? That is what our blessed Savior did in the gospel just 2 weeks ago. In that huge crowd at Jericho, remember, there was a blind man, Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Today I want to tell you about what our Lord did for a woman who was part of a huge crowd, but she never despaired about getting to our Lord. We read about her in the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, but often, because this is a sort of a parenthetical healing in the story of the daughter of Jairus, the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, I think it gets overlooked. It's the story of a woman who was sick for 12 embarrassing, agonizing years. She had been to doctors, many of them, and submitted to the sometimes absurd remedies which the Jewish Talmud prescribed for her affliction. 12 of them, one for each year that she had been sick. And doctor's bills, St. Luke, who was a doctor, writes that she had spent all of her money on them. Anybody in that position might be pardoned if they wanted finally to give up or start taking the bitter pill of self-pity. It would be understandable. But not this woman. She is known only as the hemorrhaging woman. Although St. Ambrose says that she is St. Martha, and others say she was St. Veronica. And you can see why, because she boldly, bravely pushed her way through the crowd to our Lord and was greatly rewarded for her confidence. All she did was to reach out and touch the little white and blue fringe at the bottom of Christ's robe, the fringe every observant Jew wore on his garments, and she was healed. Her relief at that moment, her excitement, was short-lived, because our Lord turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And St. Peter, who always had something to say, says, "Well, what do you mean? How could we? Everyone's touching you, Lord." "Who touched me?" our Lord wants to know, because he felt power go out from him. And she, who could have slipped away off into the crowd, bravely comes forward, and she kneels at Christ's feet, and all she receives is a gentle word and a blessing. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, thy faith hath saved thee," in a word. "Go thy way in peace." The faith in her own heart overflowed into her actions and was strong enough to conquer every possible obstacle, whether it be physical, the crowd. How could she work her way through all of those excited people around the Master? Her bad health, 12 years of bleeding, must have left her weak and in pain. and the exertion alone of managing this. But she did it. And then the internal obstacles. According to the burdensome Jewish law, she was unclean this lady was as a leper. And anyone she touched became unclean as well. Should I be doing this? What would the master say? No wonder she came up behind him and didn't want to be recognized. The great thing about this story is the plan this lady concocts for herself in her head. One writer says this is typical of a woman's confidence, but it is also admirable. You might say, well, she was making up her own rules because she said, if I just can touch him anonymously, I can steal a miracle and no one will know the better for it. But such faith she had in Christ's goodness. Sophisticated people laugh at the little rules that are followed by simple souls in their devotions and in their daily lives, and they dismiss them as superstition. But it worked for the hemorrhaging woman, and it works for many of you as well. We can learn something from her. There is always room for faith. No matter what we are facing, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what, as they say, your heart tells you, and no matter what Father may say to you when you confess the same serious sin time and again in the confessional, there is always room for Jesus to work, to be our Jesus, which means our Savior. No problem is ever too great. No timing is ever too late. He can soften hearts. He can heal the most broken of hearts. And he can do everything else because he is the divine doctor. He always answers us when we pray. Last Sunday we sang, he shall call upon me and I shall answer him. And he does. Call? Why, even a silent gesture, the light touch on the fringe of his tunic. Her faith touched our Lord more than her fingers. And he stopped and he healed her. But look, faith is the non-negotiable here. It is not a feeling nor an assurance, as the Protestants falsely teach. It is a firm act of the will, the submission of my intellect. I believe. But if you do believe, and strong enough, are you then guaranteed anything you might pray for? Many people think that, but again, they are wrong. Of course you're not. Whose job is it to diagnose the disease? Yours? Why do you go to a doctor then? No, it is the physician's job, just as it is his to prescribe treatment. Our Lord, like a good father, gives to us, his children, not what we want, but what we need. So for all of those who are not healed on a given day, that doesn't mean their faith is lacking. It means that God has another plan in his mercy. That mercy remains, though, a mystery to us. It's so dazzling bright, it's like the light that came out of our Lord in the Transfiguration. You couldn't look at it that long. How to figure out where his will and his wisdom come together in a human life. We don't know how they work, but they do to save us. Always, in some way, every prayer is heard. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, There I'll give you the verse, Acts 2:21, as the Protestants would say. It's a good one to remember. Healed, made whole, made holy, salvum factum, in body or in soul or even in mind. Jesus is the doctor who has time for us. You don't need a strategy. You don't need to put your hand against the door to keep him in the room so you can get a word in and your questions asked. All you need is to set aside a little time for the office visit. Do you think Lent might be a good time for that? He loves us. But have some of you ever poured out your heart in prayer to him? Not your words, not somebody else's words, but your heart and your needs to the Sacred Heart. All too often, I am afraid, we think that God expects us to help ourselves and then to confess what a bad job we've done of it. That prayer means one more duty and to accept our fate. But the Gospels paint a different picture of the divine physician and of the patient together. Please don't sell our Lord short, or yourself either. Don't be afraid to work your way through the crowd and to touch him. And sooner or later, you will find yourself on your knees, and you will look up, and you will be face to face. And as the apostles, you'll see no one but only Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.